Hello again, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida, WMAF. If you're listening by computer, because WMAF streams 24 hours a day, we're glad that you have joined us today. And if you have downloaded this message from our website, we do pray earnestly that it will be a blessing to you and to yours. And if you are a first-time listener today, we welcome you. We ask you to be our very, very special guest. If you can take the time, if you're not driving down that interstate or something of that nature, would you just get you a cup of coffee, get you some hot tea, cold tea, iced coffee, hot coffee, whatever it is that that relaxes you, and just sit down for a little while with the Word of God and let the Word of God speak. I'm beginning by asking people to slow down because the title of our teaching this week is Lord Help Me to Slow Down, Getting Out of the Rat Race and Getting Ready for the Coming of Jesus Christ. Lily Tomlin years ago said, remember, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. So let's let the Word of God speak to us about something that I call worry sickness or hurry sickness caused by worry and the cares of this life. It's an important message, and I believe God will speak to all of us through it. I know He's speaking to me. I never preach a message or teach from the Scripture that God doesn't speak to my heart. And I love it when God gives me personal instructions from His Word of how to live my life victoriously and relevant to His kingdom, praise God, and especially live my life in the light of His soon coming. We're taking our text from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. And we would invite you, if you would like to come to our website, would you just type in THCOG? You can type in The Holy Church of God, but THCOG will take you to The Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, an affiliate with Independent Assemblies of God International, based in San Diego, California, since 1974. Hallelujah. So we would be so happy to hear from you. Or if you just want to come download sermons, recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, testimonies, Bible helps. There's just so much information on our website. It's free. There are no strings attached. And we have freely received from the Lord, and we freely give as we have received it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. One thing we learned last week about worry sickness is that it can harm you emotionally, including your relationships, but it can also harm you physically, and more important than all, it can harm you spiritually. I want to read the text today, the instructions from Jesus Christ from Luke 21, 34 through 36. Listen carefully and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to read it from the Amplified because it says it in a way that maybe you can get it, give clarity actually to it. Listen, but take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose, for it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. Keep awake and watch at all times. Be discreet, attentive, and ready. praying that you may have the full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape all these things taken together that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. We talked about the emotional damage that this being in such a high-paced, high-octane type of life style that almost everyone is being affected by in some way or another. And it can even harm us physically. You see, busy people usually don't have time to exercise. They barely have healthy eating habits or sleep habits. And burning the candle on both ends will inevitably take its toll on our bodies. In a book called The Anxiety Cure, Dr. Archibald D. Hart comments on the dramatic rise in stress and anxiety-related disease in these recent years. He says that the reason that this is true is that we humans were designed for camel travel, but we're acting like supersonic jets. We are living, friend, at too fast a pace. Our frantic schedules cause adrenaline to flow as a continuous stream of supercharged, high-octane energy through our bodies. I have done it. I'm guilty. And I need to get a handle on it and not let it drive me. It's easy to stop and get a mocha latte at McDonald's and get sugar and caffeine at the same time. It's easy to just get the boost that is really artificial and not get the real strength that comes from God on the inward man and from good rest and nutrition in the outward man. And as with any vehicle running on high-octane fuel, we burn out quickly. The pace of modern life is stretching all of us beyond our limits. Lifestyle-induced stress causes headaches, ulcers, and even heart disease. It also sets the stage for anxiety by wreaking havoc with our brains and body's biochemistry. But if we're not careful, it can hurt us beyond just physically. It can hurt us spiritually. The worst effect is that it damages our spiritual maturity and progression. One writer writes, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life, for hurry prevents us from receiving love from the Father and experiencing it or giving it to His children. For many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith altogether. It's that we'll become so distracted and rushed and busy, preoccupied, that we will settle for a mediocre version of it." You know, one writer of old said that we've been inoculated with such a mild form of Christianity that we have become immune to the real thing. I believe it takes time to seek the Lord. It takes time to spend time in prayer. It takes time, quality time, invested in the study of God's Word. And, you know, in most churches, we across America, we're watching the clock. The service must end in a gnat's eyebrow of 12 noon or everybody gets antsy. And if it's much past 12, we even get angry. We're too busy to seek God. We're spiritually, mentally, and physically fatigued. And when we need to rest and be refreshed, we stay up and take the time for movies and television and other things. But we seem to run out of gas when it comes time to invest in our spiritual life and even in our physical good. And I believe that God is speaking to us through His Word to be cautioned and to be very, very warned that we can't keep up the pace of the 21st century and keep the victory that we so desperately need and keep the testimony that we need and love our family like we need to. Maybe we don't need a house quite as big. Maybe we don't need a car quite as nice. Maybe we don't need all the gadgets that we think we can't do without. Maybe we need God Maybe we need our family to invest in our family, invest in our spiritual life. Maybe we need to be alerted that Jesus is coming very, very soon. And none of these other things will mean anything. You see, hurry keeps God's truth from taking root in our lives and, of course, dwarfs our spiritual growth. In his parable of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus spoke of this when he said, "The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life choke it, making it unfruitful." That's in Matthew 13:22. It's in other places in the Gospels in the New Testament. It's no wonder that someone wrote, "Hurry is not of the devil. Hurry is the devil." Stealing that is most important and most precious from our hearts and from our lives. I don't think I need to tell you how worry and the cares of this life and the running, always running, takes away from the quality of life itself and blinds us to the times in which we're living. We just don't take time to think about what's really important, how near the coming of Jesus is, and how very, very desperate we must be to be ready for His coming, and to pray and intercede that our family and loved ones have come to know Jesus and are looking with us for the soon coming of the Lord. Lay down and rest. Many times the sheep just don't want to do that. I read a while ago, preparing for the shepherd's psalm, that some sheep were over anxious and would not lay down and rest. The shepherd in some instances would put his hand on both sides of the sheep's head and hold his focus on the shepherd's face until the sheep calmed down. We must make time to focus on the goodness and faithfulness, mercy and grace of our good shepherd God. We must look unto Jesus and rest in Him. Remember the song that says, "Cast your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." I find myself trying to rush through even this teaching. Like today, I feel the pressure to get it all in a time frame. And certainly, we've got to be aware of the time frame. But we can make another broadcast on this subject. I just want to slow down and speak to you heart to heart. And that's the way God wants to speak to you. Heart to heart. Your shepherd, my shepherd, wants to take me. Put his hands on my head and hold my head still that I might focus on Him. And then He wants to speak to me. Words of consolation. Words that will end my worry, that will quell my fears, that will cause my doubts to fade away. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of this world truly become strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We think we're too busy to pray when, in fact, one great minister of old said, "If I don't pray at least 2 or 3 hours when I start my day, I've got so much to do, so many responsibilities. If I don't spend that time in prayer, I'll never get it all done." We think we don't have time when, in fact, when God, by His Spirit, goes to work because we have sought Him, leaned on Him, looked to Him with everything that we are and for everything that we need. God can give us a word of knowledge. He can give us a word of wisdom. He can open doors that we could work to open for hours and days and months and years and never see open. But God can open them in a moment. He can prepare hearts for the Word of God. He can bless your business. He can take care of everything. But He needs our undivided attention and our absolute trust. Praise the Lord. We must make time to focus on the goodness and faithfulness of our good Shepherd God. We must look unto Jesus, The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, unless you become weary, you and me, and faint in our own mind. During his earthly ministry, Jesus often had much to do, but he never did it in a way that severed the life-giving connection between him and his Father. He was never too busy that it interfered with his ability to give love when love was called for. Jesus was busy, but he never hurried. He constantly urged his disciples to come apart and rest for a while, he told them on one occasion, to pray, and in so doing, to keep their relationship to God strong. And if we're to follow Jesus and in so doing become more like him, we must slow down. Because by definition, we can't move faster than the one we're following. If we do, we're going to get ahead of God. And if that happens, we're on our own. And friend, I've been there. I've done that. It isn't pleasant to be even trying to do the Lord's work in my strength, my human ability, because there's a limit. Without his grace and his supernatural, I am so limited. And when I go beyond those boundaries and limits of my human endurance, my emotional abilities to withstand all the hits that you get in life, I can be stretched beyond measure. But when I walk in sync with God and I take time to seek him, and not just to run in his throne room and start asking him desperately to meet particular needs of mine, but it's when I spend time in his presence. Prayer is not just asking for things. Prayer is a holy communion and a communication between God and us. It's in that relationship of communion that he communicates his wonderful peace to our hearts. And in the midst of the storm, before he even moves to stop the winds and the storms, he speaks to the storm that it has created within us. You know, God doesn't immediately all the time speak to that storm without. But if we go to him in prayer, we take time to seek him and to wait upon the Lord, he will certainly immediately speak peace to the storm that it has created within us. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage, but wait for the Lord. So this new disease can do incredible harm to those who are infected. And I believe I can say without exception, it's all of us to some degree. It damages their relationships with others. Their emotions are marred. It harms us physically. And often we rush about so fast that even our spiritual growth comes to a halt because we don't take time to be with God and to fellowship with him. I heard a statistic not too long ago about the average pastor, and it's less than a half an hour a week. I'm not talking about the professional prayers. I'm not talking about praying over the breakfast, prayer breakfast. I'm not talking about praying even for someone at a hospital. I'm not talking about praying those dutiful prayers that we do when someone said, would you pray for my son, my daughter? We grab them by the hand, we pray. I'm talking about that personal time with God where we enter into the closet. And I'm not just, you may have to go in your closet in your home. He's talking about a private place. And he said, when you get in that place, shut to the door. I.e., in effect, turn off the cell phone. Get away from the television. Turn off the iPod. No, don't put it on vibrate. Turn it off for a little while. You're in the presence of God, speaking to God. And I believe if we get quiet enough in his presence, we can hear God speaking to us. The Lord spoke to me recently while I was on what I call my walk and talk. I have to get away from everything and everybody, and I just blend it with walking. I go walking, but talking to and with the Lord. And God showed me things in my own life, areas that I needed him to address, and I needed to address, and things that I had let go but he brought it to my mind and he brought it to my heart. And I pray that God would help me in these areas where I need to slow down so I can really get God's perspective, not only on other people's needs and my family, but for me, my walk with the Lord. Amen. Our society is full of ideas, friend, and values and pressures and temptations that we will not even notice unless we withdraw once in a while. In Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul put it this way, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." In other words, pull away from time to time and be transformed by God instead. A few years ago, a researcher found that it takes a high dose of amphetamines to kill a mouse living in solitude. But a group of mice will start hopping around and hyping each other up so much that a dose each 20 times smaller will be lethal to them. So great is the effect of the world on mice. In fact, a mouse that has been given no amphetamines at all, placed in a group on the drug, will get so hopped up that in 10 minutes or so, it will be dead. Well, in a very real sense, we're living among hopped up mice. Our society constantly tells us to move faster, do more, and do it quicker. And solitude can help cure this, for it's basically time in which we leave and do nothing. Just as fasting means to refrain from food, solitude means to refrain from society and its busy pace. Jesus told his disciples after an extremely successful ministerial venture, he told them, "Come apart and rest for a while. Come apart and rest for a while." He set that supreme example when, in the midst of people thronging him with great needs, he withdrew. He wasn't doing this selfishly. See, there's a difference, friend, in selfishness and self-preservation. Selfishness says, "I don't care about anybody. I'm just going to take care of me." Self-preservation means I care so much about so many people, I must take care of myself so I can help them when they truly need it most. Ah, friend, Jesus went up into a mountain, the Bible said, and he was there alone. Him and God praying and communing. That it was important to Jesus Christ. It's got to be a high priority for victory with you and me. If Jesus, because he took on flesh, saw the need for this kind of quality time with his Father, how much more do you and I, who are not divine in any sense of the word, need that time? Jesus took on flesh. He felt the pull. He felt the fatigue. He felt what we feel. And he set the example of how to live in victory in a faulty body in a fallen world. And it's up to you and me to get out of the rat race and take time. That's why the warning is so strong. Beware, lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day overtake you as a thief, for as a snare it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Let me read it to you again, how vital this is to being ready for His coming. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through 14 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God?" This is that judgment to come, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we as Christians, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot, the Bible said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and afflicted in their widows and fatherless in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It even says we're to despise even the garment spotted by the flesh. He wants to purge his church. He wants to prepare his people for his coming, because surely judgment is coming one day. We need to be ready for the evacuation of this planet. Praise God. We need to be ready for the soon coming of Jesus, that secret coming that we call the rapture, the catching away of his bride, the taking of his church unto himself. We're to march to the beat of a different drummer. We know what the future holds. We're not ignorant of what is coming and who is coming. We know that God's judgments are sure and coming soon. We should live our lives with decidedly different values. We should put our God first and our families next and everything else next and last. Praise God. Amen. Let me read a scripture that this is a wake-up call scripture, and I read every time I read it, I feel like an alarm is going off. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 10. And let's go through 1 through 11. We've got just enough time. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, as also ye do. We need to encourage and exhort one another. Church services are not just for offerings to meet budgets. It is crucial that we take time out from the rat race and take time to focus on Jesus and his coming, and that we encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Love one another. Praise God. Amen. Love our families. Invest in that is eternal. The old gospel song said, life is filled with swift transition. Naught of this, O world, can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, and hold to God's unchanging hand. Today, if you don't know Jesus and you're in the rat race, you've taken 30 minutes to hear a message designed to draw you aside. To hear God speak to your heart. To hear him say, I want to save you. I want to seal you for eternity. Will you come to Christ today? Will you bow your head, your heart, where you are? Even if you're driving, bow in your heart and say, Jesus, I need a Savior. I'm going to stop right now and deal with the grandest, greatest issue of my life, and that's where my soul will spend eternity. Lord, come into my life, forgive my sin, save my soul. Christian, take time to seek the Lord, to love your wife, your children, your husband, your mama, your daddy. Time is fleeting. Jesus is coming soon. Let's get his mighty harvest in. Well, come back next week, will you please? Let's talk about Jesus.